Thank you for joining us for our study of the Gospel of John. We begin today with John chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus had just told these Pharisees, "I go away, and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." They react to that. They ask, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'? What does that mean?" Well, the Jews had a belief that suicide was self-murder. They said it was damnable to the lowest part of hell. So they figured that's what he must be saying. That's the place where we certainly can't go, but he evidently wants to kill himself, and that's where he is going. Now, in response to those thoughts, Jesus explains why they have rejected him. And this comes in verse 23. "They are from below, he is from above. They are of this world, he is not of this world." There are four prepositions in these statements here, but they all are based on the same Greek preposition ek, meaning origin or source. Jesus is telling them that they are human, but he is divine. They were men of this world, but he came from heaven. What does it mean to be of the world or to be of something? It designates one source of life. Here, it is human versus divine life. It sounds as if their destiny is settled, but there is good news in verse 24. It says, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." Well, that's the remedy to the problem, of course. And people today are no different from the Pharisees. They cannot have life unless they believe in Jesus. If they believe, things will be different. For Jesus was sent into this God-hating world where men were hostile to both him and his followers. But God sent Christ. What does that tell us? Even though the world has gone from bad to worse, God had not abandoned the world. He wants to rescue those people who are his creation. Now notice what the big sin is here. If they can be rescued from dying from their sins by believing, the big sin is obviously unbelief. And that's the greatest sin. That's the one that decides every person's destiny. Failure to believe is the big sin in this world. John focused on this single sin. When we studied John chapter 3, we called attention to verse 18. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." From John's point of view, there were only two kinds of people in the world, those who do and those who don't. Those who do and don't do what? Believe. In our listening audience today, there are only two kinds of people from the standpoint of the Apostle John. Those who believe and those who don't. And God looks at it the same way. John wrote, "He who believes in him is not condemned." Condemnation is judgment. The only ones who are not condemned are those who believe in him. You see how we have been emphasizing throughout this Gospel of John the word believe? It means trust in completely. It means depend upon, rely upon, and have complete confidence in. That's what believing means, according to the Bible. And the Bible continually asks us to believe in him. Why? Because he's the Savior of the world. There is no other Savior. There are not things to do. There is not a religion to follow. There is a person to believe in. Who is this person? The one sent from heaven. The God-man. His name is Jesus. Now, Jesus pointed to the same sin when he talked about how the Spirit would be sent in chapter 16, verse 8 of the Gospel of John. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning three things. Now, that he refers to the Holy Spirit. And he'll convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not what? Because they do not believe in me, Jesus said. That's what the Spirit is doing in this world, convincing men of sin because they don't believe. Not because they don't go to church, and not because they don't read their Bibles or pray or do good works. He convinces them because they don't believe. Unbelief brings certain death. Those refusing to believe face an eternal separation from God, and that's eternal death. That is what is meant by dying in your sin. Now, in verse 24, Jesus specified what they must believe, that I am He. Now, this is where we get into a little translation difficulty, because some of your Bibles say something else. For example, the New International Version has, you must believe that I am the one I claim to be. But in the Greek, there is no predicate. It simply says, believe that I am. And most translations provide the He. Believe that I am He. But there's something we should observe here. Jesus claimed to be I am. What's the significance of that title? Well, if you were a Hebrew back in those days, you would be one of the people of the book. And you would surely know that he was referring to what is written in the book of Exodus, where God identified himself as the God who is I am. We have the same expression in verse 28 of this chapter. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. That's how the Greek reads. And verse 58, where the writers did not supply the predicate, we have the same thing. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The same Greek construction is in all these verses, and there are still others in the Gospel of John. Now, what's the significance of this I am? What would a Jew have understood? He knew that I am is the name that God said he wanted to be known by. In Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, we read this. Moses was just called by God to be the leader of the people, and he had some apprehension about their acceptance of him, and he said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now that's strange to us, but it is not strange to the Old Testament. What does he mean by I am? He means that he is the eternal God, the one who was and always is and always will be. So what better way is there to say his name than the great I am? Now what is Jesus saying? He's claiming to be the I am. You have to believe that I am, Jesus said. Exactly. That's what he's saying. Now, this may change your idea a bit about who Jesus is, and I hope it does. If you do not believe this biblical view of who Jesus is, you may be believing in the wrong kind of a Jesus. The Jesus who is not the one described in the Bible, and that would be tragic. Now, the scripture on this subject is so clear that no Jew would be unaware of it. in the Song of Moses, which is recorded in Deuteronomy 32, beginning with verse 39, we have a further statement about the I Am God. Here's the passage. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. That tells us that God was the provision of the people of Israel, the protector and their provider. They needed no one else. He was the I Am. And Isaiah joined the testimony concerning the great I Am of the Old Testament. In chapter 43, verse 10, Isaiah quotes God, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord." Now, what is the message of Jesus in John 8:24? What exactly must one believe? That He was a perfect man? That He was the descendant of Abraham? The son of David? That He was born of a virgin? And that He was sinless? And do we need to believe that God raised Him from the dead? Well, you and I probably believe all this concerning Him, but one can believe those things and be lost. Jesus said you must believe that I am. And by that He means He was claiming to be God in the flesh, the holy provider of Israel in the Old Testament, the creator of all things, and the one who claimed to be equal to the Father. He said that He and the Father were one. That's in John 17:22. And if we cannot believe this about Jesus, then we believe in a mini-God, one who was in some way an adopted Son of God, so called for His perfect obedience. Listen to His description in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Now that describes the Jesus of the Bible, the true Jesus, and any other Jesus who doesn't meet that test is not the Jesus of the Bible. As we close today, I would like to say that the Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry of laymen in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It is supported by friends and listeners. Because of volunteers, it has no payroll, and all gifts are used to defray ministry expenses. Its broadcasts especially benefit Bible class teachers and pastors, but are easily understood by those not well acquainted with the Bible. In Baton Rouge, it sponsors a Sunday morning Bible class. We invite your comments and questions related to the Word of God. Till tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.